Hello, my name is Margus Kasik. I am CFO of Eesti Energia, and welcome you all to Eesti Energia's annual earnings call. We will go now through the audited financial results for the last year. I'll jump now straight to slide 3, which recaps our result for last year. What we see is that we had a sort of a stable year from the revenues point of view. Our revenues grew 1.3%. On the EBIT side, we saw a slight decline of 2.7%, and that is to note that that is excluding the impairment cost that we had. On the operating cash flow side, things improved compared to last year, and our cash flow from operations was 185 million euros, and that's up 14.5%. The CapEx remained at this elevated level of over 500 million euros, and basically were on par with 2011's CapEx. But that was a short overview, and now in more detail about our results last year. Firstly, we are slide 4 now. I'd like to touch briefly on issues about Nord Pool Estonia and our electricity price environment. What we see is that electricity price in our Nord Pool market in Estonia has declined over 3 years, from 52 to last year it was 39. However, I think what is good to note is that our dark spread, spread after CO2 cost and fuel cost is subtracted, was actually a bit better even than the year before, despite the power price decline, and this is due to quite a significant decline in the CO2 price that actually has benefited us. Also, what is interesting to note is that last year was one where prices in Estonia were higher than in Finland. During the first 2 years, Estonian prices lagged Finnish prices by about 6 euros per megawatt hour. Last year, actually, we were 3 euros per megawatt hour ahead of Finnish price. And that is exactly what we have been telling before, that the volatility of Estonian price is much less than in the Nordic markets. There is the power generators and then the power supply is at the much stable prices. And therefore, when prices go significantly up in the Nordics, they tend not to go so much up in Estonia. And vice versa as well, when they plummet in Nordics as they did last year, they don't plummet as much in the Estonian market. Now, the next slide, slide 5, the revenue summary. As I noted, the revenues were basically flat, 2011 and 12. Although there were quite significant changes between our different product lines, the biggest gain was achieved in network services. Our revenues from the network services increased 35 million euros, quite a significant increase. And also we did increase sales of oil. Revenues were 17 million up. And then on the power side, we had declining revenues, especially in the unregulated market side. And altogether, we had about 25 million euro reduction in power sales. On the next slide, there is more detail about power sales. Firstly, slide 6 is telling about the regulated market. Things were stable in the regulated market as they tend to be usually. The sales volumes increased about 3%, and that is in line with the electricity consumption growth in Estonia. The average price did decline about 1%. We didn't change in price as far as I know, but the combination of different tariffs just gave us a little lower average price, probably because those tariffs with a lower prices were used more during that year. And altogether, there was a 2% increase in the regulated power sales. The regulated market had ended as of end of last year. Now we are on the new era of power market in Estonia. And we can happily report that we were successful in this market opening exercise, as we have made over 400,000 contracts with our clients in the open market side, and that covers nearly 60% of all Estonian connection points. So I think it's quite a remarkable achievement. Quite a small amount of clients remained on this public service that is offered on the back of Nord Pool power price, and then our competitors also gained some market share, but actually less than even we anticipated. On the next slide, slide 7, about the open market side, there we had sales declining. You see the 16% was decline in sales volumes. However, it's important to note that on the retail side, on the retail markets, open retail markets in the Baltics, we significantly increased our sales volumes from 2.0 terawatt hours to 2.7 or even 2.8 terawatt hours. And the decline was mainly due to a decline in the sales to power exchange. And the decline in the power exchange was mainly due to two things. Firstly, because we sold more on the retail market and we had less to sell in the power exchanges. But the second note is also that we had, first of all, on the wholesale side, rather low prices at some point of time, at which we didn't just want to generate, and that did take away some of the sales. And secondly, we also have a lower sulfur emissions limit for our power generation in Narva, and that did also somewhat decrease our output. Although we have been able to cope with that sulfur limit very well, and even better than we anticipated in the beginning of that year. But coming back to this power sales on the open markets, the volumes did decrease. On the revenue side, actually, we were able to increase our revenues by 5%. So altogether, the net effect was 10% decline in revenues. Definitely would be interesting, or what we would like to highlight is that if you saw the Nordic power price or Nord Pool power price in Estonia of 39 euros per megawatt hour, then what we actually were able to achieve as sales price was 50, so 10% or 10 euros or 25% more. And that is mainly due to, firstly, we had good hedges in place. We hedged our exposure to some extent, and that definitely helped us during those times where prices were pretty low on the power exchange. And secondly, also the revenues that we got from this Estlink power cable were quite significant. As the prices were quite volatile, the differences between Estonia and Finland were quite significant at times. And we also, from that, got quite a significant boost to our average sales price in the open market. Next slide, slide 8, is about network services sales. And And there you see exactly the same, about 3% increase, which is basically the consumption increase in Estonia. You see quite a significant increase on the price side, about 15%, so altogether 18% more revenues. This price increase didn't come directly all to our bottom line, as part of it is due to price increases in the transmission network side. The Elering, the transmission company, also has raised their tariffs, but some of it has still gone through to our bottom line as well, and the profitability of the network services has improved significantly. The network losses were on a quite reasonable level, 6%. They were up a bit. They were even 5.8% a year before. But even that 6% is currently quite good result, and is well below the losses percent that is included in our tariff calculation, and then these approved by the regulator. On the next slide, slide 9, about the oil sales, we did produce oil as much as we haven't done before, so it's 211,000 tons, mainly due to higher reliability of our old oil plants. They do now very well. And so, because of that, we were able to sell more oil. So the oil sales were close to 190,000 tons, up 15%. We also were able to increase the sales prices by 11%, so altogether 29% increase in revenues. Quite an achievement. To be honest, we were expecting even a bit better result on the oil side, as we did expect that we also get some oil from our new oil plant, which we didn't. But on the hindsight, what we can say that we probably were way too aggressive and too optimistic about how fast we can start up the production in the new oil plant, and hence so far we haven't had any significant amounts of oil from the oil plant. On the next slide, slide 10, about the other revenues, there we have seen a declining amount of other revenues, and there are several reasons for that. One reason is that we have sold our telecom business, and of course didn't have any revenues from that. The effect is about 15 million euros altogether. And second important aspect is about the CO2 allowances, that we sold more CO2, and therefore we did get some revenues from that, although not profits. I think I would like to jump now to the next slide, slide 11, and about the EBIT breakdown by our divisions. What we see here is firstly that the EBIT from our distribution network has increased significantly. 17 million is the increase in the network side. We do see that that the retail side, our retail division, has increased their bottom line significantly. That is actually mainly due to the different approaches that we have had in 2011 and 2012. And therefore, the power purchase price has been different for them, and they have been getting a better results out of power sales. And of course, we had one of revenues or one of the profits also because of sales of this telecommunication business. On the fuel side, we saw a decline. that was basically mainly two reasons behind that, coming to that later as well, but mainly two reasons. Firstly, the oil shale price, the internal oil shale price has remained the same, although there is a significant cost pressure, and the costs have increased, so the profitability of the mining business itself has decreased. And then secondly, we had some one-off revenues or profits in 2011 in respect to this Jordanian subsidiary sales or potential sales of that. And then you also see in this slide that the EBIT change on comparable basis were quite small, from 168 to 163. But in addition to that, we had impairment cost of 63 million euros, and that left EBIT about 100 million euros. Next slide, the profitability by our segments. First of all, retail side. Here you see that we have had some revenue growth in the retail side, 6%. The OPEX have risen quite modestly, 0.4%. And we have seen quite a dramatic increase in the EBIT of retail division. And that is due to the two facts that I mentioned already on the previous slide. First is that the electricity margin has increased significantly, and that has happened because basically now on 2012, the retail business did buy all the electricity in with power exchange spot prices, and since the spot prices were quite low during that year, and most of the sales has been concluded before that price decrease, then that increased their margin significantly. And also we had net effect of 9 million euros from sales of the telecommunications subsidiary. We did have some significant cost increases as well that were due to higher costs that we incurred because of this market opening. We had to increase the capacity of our retail channels significantly, and that did bring in some cost also. On slide 13, about the distribution network, I have to report that we are able to achieve the profitability that the regulator has allowed us to get. So that is 7.8%. And with distribution network, we are very much content about the last year. I think their performance has been excellent. They have been able to increase their bottom line significantly, able to achieve the regulated profitability. And also, in addition to that, what is important to note is that also all the quality metrics have improved significantly over the year as well. Those customer disconnections and the disconnection time has reduced quite significantly during last year. So we are very, very much happy with the results of the distribution business. On the slide 14, on the generation front, we saw quite a significant decrease in the margins. So also the generating division sells quite a lot to the spot market, or basically all the sales that we sell on the open market through our retail channel is basically cleared between retail and generation division by the spot price. So the weak spot price did hit the generation division, and of course all the impairment cost is also in the retail division. So if we look the results after the impairment, then we see that there's basically from the 90 million euros EBIT, only 5 is remaining. On the comparable basis, the comparison is much better, basically comparing 70 to 80, so doesn't look that bad anymore. The generation volumes did decrease about 1 terawatt hour, and that was, as I told, basically two reasons for that. One is the quite a low prices occasionally on the power exchange, and secondly the sulfur limit that was imposed to us. I think I will now jump forward to page 15 about the fuels division. There we did see a decrease in the revenue side. We did see also decrease in the operational cost, but altogether that was quite a significant decrease from 71 million euros to 43 million euros. Quite a significant part of it is due to those non-recurring revenues that we had a year before. That's basically 16 million euros is effect from that, quite a significant part. Then 15 million euros was also due to the slower profitability of oil shale mining. As I told, we kept the same internal price or the same regulated price as well for oil shale, but the cost did increase over time. We had some environmental taxes and some other costs as well increasing during the year. We saw a decline also in the technology industry subsidiary, where the work volumes did decrease somewhat as they did quite a big part of this construction works in this new oil plant, and as this oil plant was basically mechanically complete already in mid last year, then those revenues they were not able to replace fully, and they saw less revenues and less profits on the second half of the year. On the next slide 16, we also have more detail on the mining side, and there we see that the decline that they had on the EBIT side was from 17 million to 2 million, and lower sales volume was one reason behind that. They did, although they did mine a bit more, but they sold less, as we did require less oil shale, both for the new oil plant didn't take oil shale, and also we had less oil shale demand on the power side. So that had an effect, and also the margins were weaker. On slide 17, there are all the effects summed together and looked at the group level. And what we see here, we see that basically three important items were what increased our bottom line. Most importantly, the higher profitability of network services did contribute significantly, 24 million to EBIT, positively on the EBIT growth. Secondly, we did had a year before some discounts and revaluations on the CO2 and hedge instrument side that we didn't have last year, and that gave additional 15 million in comparing those 2 years. And also on the oil side, the oil sales, as we sold more and the prices were better, the oil contributed additional 13 million euros to our EBIT. On the negative side, the most important negative effect came through our power sales or power generation, I would say. And basically altogether, if we look at the sales volume and also lower margin, then 40 million euros were the net effect of less profitability in the power side. So quite a significant decrease And then also we had a higher depreciation as several CapEx that we did were finalized and things were put into operation, and that did increase our depreciation. And on top of that, there is this impairment of 63 million euros. Call that impairment. Most of this 63 million euros was done in Narva power plant, our main power generator, 58 from that 63. The main reasons for that impairment cost was that we have had a weakening outlook or prospects to our power business, mainly because of the end of free CO2 era that ended for us this year. Now we have to buy all the CO2 on the market. We had incurred a loss of bio electricity generation in Narva. We had quite a significant margin on that as we had before, and we don't have any more. And also we had some unexpected raises in the environmental taxes level. So all those different items put together gave us a bit weaker outlook for the profitability of our power business, and Narva power plants in particular. And for that we see that some impairment test and cost was in order. And on slide 18, about the cash flow, the cash flow itself was higher than a year before. First view to cash flows is we will show how from the EBITDA of 278 million euros we will get to operating cash flow of 185 million, and where the cash goes. Firstly, one positive effect is that we have less some other current assets that give us some boost. But on the negative side, the interest and loan expenses took 26 million out of EBITDA. That was CO2 related prepayments and changes in provisions that were 23 million euros, income tax 17 million, sales of telecommunications subsidiary did affect the operating cash flow also by 14 million euros, basically a classification issue here. And we had higher inventories as we mined more oil shale that we used, because it is still better for us to mine sort of ahead, as the mining related taxes are increasing year by year. Then it's actually good for us to mine as much as we can and then sell later. So inventories increased during the year, and that's 10 million euros. And also receivables went up somewhat. So altogether, we see that 185 is the cash flow that we got. On the next slide, we show that it was still better and 14% higher than a year before. A year before we had only 162 million euros, and this year 185. If we look at the different effects that we have here, then more or less the biggest driver here is the CO2 and CO2 related changes in the provisions. So the less prepayments on the CO2 side did altogether in net effect gave us the result. On the CapEx side, slide 20, we still have a very high level of CapEx. That's 513 million euros, even a bit more than we had a year before. Most of this CapEx went to the new power plant that we're constructing in Auvere. It's 208 million euros. Network investments were 100 million exactly. The oil plant 54 and others a bit less. What is definitely good and perhaps encouraging to note is that our investment volumes are now declining. This year we don't expect to invest more than 438 million euros, so quite a significant decrease comparing to this year. And if we look at years 14 and 15, then the committed investments in total are 563 million euros, so less than 300 million euros per year on years 14 and 15. That is in respect, of course, the committed investments. We may over time commit more, but may not. So that is something that the we will see later in the future, and then most likely this year we don't see that we would engage into any new significant commitments on the CapEx side. So the picture may look quite similar in the end of this year. Slide 21, more details on the CapEx side. Quite a significant part of the investments are completed or very near to completion. The two things will remain from here. We will, or even for next 3 years, build this new power plant in Auvere. Of course, distribution networks investments will continue, but most of the other investments are completed already or are completed in very near term. Enefin toy plant is mechanically complete, the hot commissioning still ongoing, but we don't see any capex going there. The self-preservation equipment is by today already basically complete. There are some acceptance tests to do, but basically already done. Hero waste energy unit is also have had their first fire, and we expect that they are complete. They already basically the plant is up and running in next couple of months. Wind parks already completed, and yes, then the international projects also. There we will continue this pre-development period, but the list will come much shorter over this year. Slide 22, about the liquidity. A liquidity position for ourselves is excellent, I would say. It is as excellent that we over time have been starting to reduce our liquidity lines that we have had. At one point of time, the capex amounts were so big that we did really need quite significant lines of credit to demonstrate sufficient liquidity. Now the investment levels, committed investment levels, are declining. We do see that we need less liquidity lines, and then we have gradually started to reduce them. During the last year, we also had two important transactions on the long-term financing side. We did issue a new Eurobond of 300 million euros that is maturing in 2018, and we also got 150 million euros additional equity from the government. So on the long-term financing side, we also feel quite comfortable currently. On the debt metrics, thing that we perhaps follow the most is net debt EBITDA, and there we have demonstrated quite a significant increase. But the level where we currently are, 2.1, is definitely quite comfortable by our standards, and it may increase somewhat, but without any new investment commitments, we don't see it drastically increasing. And well, now we have reached on the outlook picture, slide 23. The outlook about revenues is that revenues should grow. The main reason, the two reasons behind that. First, that we expect to sell more oil, oil that comes from the new oil plant. And we also have higher prices in for our power because the electricity market in Estonia is fully opened. So there is a very good reasons why the revenues should grow. On the EBITDA side, we also see that the EBITDA should grow, and also one reason is that the oil amounts are higher and the oil profitability is reasonably high to see the to set the EBITDA growing. And of course there will be one major negative effect is about the full CO2 expense that we will incur from this year on, and that has negatively, but altogether we do expect that our EBITDA will grow. I think the biggest driver or variable here is the new oil plant, and of course those outlook estimations or this outlook does include some significant amount of oil from the new oil plant as well. If there would be no oil from a new oil plant, then that would be quite a difficult task to grow our EBITDA. Now, summarizing the presentation, the revenues were stable. We did increase them by 1%. And despite the revenues being stable, we were able to increase our EBITDA 5%. And that is mainly because of the higher sales margin on the network services side and higher profitability in the oil side. Capital base was significantly enhanced by 150 million euros of equity and 300 million euros of new Eurobond. So one with long-term financing, we do feel comfortable right now. The investments were high, 513 million euros, but we do see investments and CapEx declining as projects are completed now, several of them. We had record high oil production from our old oil plant, and from the new year we do expect that our results will improve, and we do get our things in order also in the new oil plant. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions, then definitely help to answer and clarify things that I didn't make clear enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session for the financial analyst community. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Your question will be answered in the order they are received. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. I repeat, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on the telephone. One moment for the first question. Okay. Right now, there is no question. Mr. Kasich, there are no further questions this time. Please
If there aren't any questions, then definitely we are open to answer any questions investors and rating agencies may have, and are able to answer them by email or phone as well. So please get in touch, and we'll definitely give them all the information you need. But thank you this time. And soon, in the end of April, we are already reporting our first quarter results for 2013. Thank you and bye.